you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Matthew chapter 24 and verses 36 to 51, as we continue in our series, Living in the Last Days. Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 36. Jesus said, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, 'My master is staying away a long time,' and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. And I pray you just show us this morning, Lord, that you are coming soon. And how much, Lord, we need to be ready and how we need to get ready, Lord, for that coming. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last month, Paul and Adrian Lemonager from Tulsa, Oklahoma, were on a Caribbean cruise with their three kids. And on the fourth day, the cruise ship docked at the island of Cozumel. They left their three kids on the ship to do all kinds of activities, and the Lemonagers had to be back on board at 5 o'clock. But then at 5:30, other passengers on the ship took a video of the Lemonagers trying to get back on board a half hour late. And that happened.
He jumps off the boat.
Oh my God.
But by the time they get there, it's too late. The ship is already pulling away, even after waiting 30 extra minutes past departure time, which is well beyond normal cruise protocol. The father, helpless, can only watch the ship drift further away, with their three children still on board. You can see the mother collapse to her knees, overwhelmed.
You say, "Kevin, don't cruise ships turn around and go back and pick up passengers that are late?" Absolutely not. So they didn't make it. They got left behind with their three kids on the ship and them on the land. You talk about missing the boat. And the Bible tells us exactly the same thing is going to happen with the last days. Because if people are not ready for the last days, if they're not trusting in Jesus and living for Jesus, they're not only going to miss the boat, they're going to be up the Great Tribulation Creek without a paddle. We've got to be ready for the last days, people. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us how. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Living in the Last Days, looking at all kinds of things we need to do because of the fact we are living in the last days. So far in this series, we've looked at knowing the time and understanding the time. And today we look at how we need to be ready for the time whenever it comes. And to see that, we turn today to Matthew chapter 24 and verses 36 to 51. In this part of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is telling his disciples all kinds of things about the last days. And in our text today, Jesus tells them they need to be ready so that time doesn't take them unawares. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today we need to be ready for the last days too, so that we don't get left behind and miss the boat either. Our text this morning, Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 51, tells us three ways that we need to be ready for the last days and the rapture of the church like Jesus wants us to be. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first way that we need to be ready for the last days and the rapture of the church, is by what we know. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 36 to 41. And I know somebody's hearing this saying, Kevin, we've seen this story before.
Look at this here in this pumpkin patch, and you'll see the great pumpkin with your own eyes. If you try to hold my hand, I'll slug you. Each year, the great pumpkin rises out of the pumpkin patch that he thinks is the most sincere. He's got to pick this one. He's got to.
The rapture and the coming of Jesus Christ, Kevin, it's just like Linus and the coming of the great pumpkin. It's just an absolute joke. No, it's not a joke. It's fact. Because this isn't Charlie Brown and the great pumpkin. This is Jesus Christ and the rapture of the church. And this is not just something that might happen one night a year. This is something that is definitely going to happen any second now. And it won't just be a pumpkin rising up. It'll be all of us Christians rising up. See what we know? Jesus says, verse 36, nobody knows the day or the hour. And he's not talking about when the Chicago Cubs are going to collapse this year or when your husband's going to finally give you the TV remote. He's talking about the rapture of the church. And Jesus is using a phrase here from Rosh Hashanah or Jewish New Year or the Feast of Trumpets, when the Jewish leaders would hire men to look for the first little sliver of the new moon to appear, meaning that the new year had come. And because nobody ever knew exactly when that was going to happen, the Feast of Trumpets was called No One Knows the Day or the Hour. And the priest would blow the shofar or the trumpet 100 times, and the last trumpet blast would mean that their redemption had come. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 says that the last trumpet blast, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, Jesus Christ is going to rapture us all Christians and take us all to heaven. Luke chapter 21, verse 37. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And because verse 36 says nobody but God the Father in heaven knows exactly when that's going to happen, nobody knows exactly the day or the hour that the rapture is going to happen either. But verses 40 and 41, two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two people will be playing Wheel of Fortune. One will be taken and the other one will be left. And that's not talking about the invasion of the body snatchers. That's talking about the rapture of the church. People, I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church with all my heart. And I believe that it could happen any second.
Amen.
In fact, if you're listening to this sermon right now and you're not a Christian and you get on an airplane, you better make sure that that pilot of that plane ain't born again. Because if your pilot is born again and the rapture happens, that pilot's going to disappear. People, I wouldn't even get on a Uber or a taxi without checking with the driver first. You say, well, Kevin, how do you know that Christians aren't going to have to go through the great tribulation? Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, John hears a voice that says, come up here. And that voice from heaven draws him, raptures him up into heaven. And then Revelation chapters 4 through 19 that talk about the great tribulation on earth. The church, Christians, are not mentioned one single time in those chapters till at the end of chapter 19 when the Christians are mentioned coming down out of heaven with Jesus at the Battle of Armageddon. And why isn't the church, why aren't Christians mentioned in Revelation chapters 4 through 19? I'll tell you why. Because we Christians are not down here on earth. We are in heaven at that time, shouting on the hills of glory.
Amen.
I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home on the morning train. That evening train will be too late. I'm going home on the morning train. Who's going with me? What we know about the rapture is that it's going to come at a time when people don't expect it. And what's the purpose of the rapture? Who's the very first person raptured in the Bible? Enoch. When God took him away. Genesis chapter 5 verse 24. And notice, when did that happen? Right before the time of Noah and the coming of the flood. So the rapture is God's way of pulling out his people before everything hits the fan. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. Noah preached for 120 years and warned people that judgment was coming. But everybody just blew him off. So verse 38, in the days of Noah, people were eating and drinking and getting married and playing Donkey Kong Bonanza up until the very nanosecond that Noah got on the ark. And people, that flood really happened.
Amen.
Anthropologists tell us there was about 8 billion people on planet Earth that time. About the same number there is right now. Noah, his wife, their three sons, and their wives were all saved. But all the other 8 billion people, the Lord God drowned to death every last mother's son of them to judge them for their sin. Here's what it might have looked like. And as you look, listen to this video, listen to the voices of all the people screaming who missed the boat. Why that took place? Because verse 39, they did not know what was going to happen until the flood came and took them all away. Just like with the rapture, when you least expect it, expect it. What gets us ready for the last days and the rapture of the church is what we know. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7 says, Noah was moved by fear. The number one thing that's missing in our churches today is urgency. Urgency for lost people. Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, knowing the terror of the Lord, knowing how God can judge, we persuade men. That's why I do it, because people, I can look out that window and I can see the storm coming and I can see the clouds getting blacker and I can hear the wind picking up and I can see the lightning flashing and I can start to feel the first few drops of the judgment of God starting to fall. Arguing is not urgency. Facebook fights about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin is not urgency. My God, people, the world is ending. Jesus is coming. Judgment is falling. And the church is doing that. A dance called Your Ways Are Better. Millions of Christians and churches doing this dance today. And I guess it's cute, but what's that have to do with saving people's souls? Absolutely nothing. This close to eternity. People, where is the urgency? Where's the fear of the Lord? Where's the fire shut up in our bones? In our churches today, there's no sin, there's no cross, there's no blood, there's no rapture. We don't have preachers today. What we have are cowards who fear people a lot more than they fear God. Church today is all about teaching. Well, I'm old school, so I'm all about preaching. Because teachers inform people about something. Preachers move people to do something. God, give us preachers. Give us preachers in these last days. Amen. We're ready for the last days and the rapture of the church by what we know. I'll even tell you what you need to know if you miss the rapture. Because if you miss the rapture, you're going to find out right away this dumpy little preacher was right all along. And I can't imagine the shock and the fear that you're going to go through. But I'll have to tell you, you need to realize nothing will ever go back to normal again. And you also need to know that you will never be safe. And the media will tell you that millions of Christians disappeared because of UFOs or alien abduction or harmonic convergence or the Blue Beam Project or because of FEMA and Alcatraz and the alligator Alcatraz. But that's absolutely ridiculous. Because millions and millions of hundreds of millions of people disappearing all over the world at exactly the same time in the flash and the twinkling of an eye, and every single one of them Christians. So what it is that's going to happen when Jesus went back up into heaven 2,000 years ago, He promised us that one day He would come back and take us, snatch us away, us Christians, and take us to heaven too. So that's where we will be, in a totally different spiritual realm with a big gulf fixed between you and us that can't be crossed. So you can text us and call our cell phone numbers, but nobody will ever answer. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, well, Kevin, why you and not me? Very simple. Because I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I put my faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take my sins away. You never did. And it's as simple as that. And I hate to tell you this, but if you miss the rapture, you're not going to miss the Great Tribulation. So the next 7 years will be hell on earth. Because God's going to pour out hellacious judgments on the planet for rejecting Jesus Christ. and the restraining power of the Holy Spirit that protects us from all kinds of evil right now is going to be taken out. So all kinds of demon spirits will be appearing and running wild. And there'll be scorpions as big as horses and 100-pound hailstones and stars falling from the sky and rivers turn into blood and billions of people will die. You say, Kevin, are you trying to scare me? People, listen, I am not preacher enough to even begin to tell you what kind of carnival freak world you're going to be living in. The absolute worst horror movie you have ever seen in your entire life, but it will be very real. And the Antichrist will appear and set up a one world government and a one world economy. And the only way you'll be able to buy or sell anything is if you get the mark of the beast on your right hand or your forehead. And if you refuse to worship the Antichrist and get the mark, you will be killed for it by having your head cut off. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. But whatever you do, do not get the mark. Because Revelation chapter 14, verse 11 says, they will be tormented with burning sulfur and the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest day or night for those who worship the beast or those who receive the mark of his name. Celebrity pastor John MacArthur said this.
The Antichrist establishes his rule, and in order to function in the economy of the Antichrist, you have to take the mark of the beast. Now, the question is, if you're living in the tribulation period, and you take this mark, in other words, you identify with the beast's empire, will you still be able to be redeemed? And I think the answer to that is yes.
John MacArthur's not wrong about everything, but he's wrong about that. Because the Bible says you take the mark of the beast, you will be consigned to the fire of hell forever and ever.
Amen.
And you say, well, Kevin, what if I don't want to take the mark of the beast? What do I do then? And the only thing I can tell you, you're just going to have to do the best you can to survive. Find a tent or a cave to hide in because the Antichrist will be out there trying to hunt you down. And you'll try to find water, but there won't be any water because it'll all be contaminated. And you'll try to find food, but there won't be any food. And because you don't have the mark of the beast, you won't be able to buy any. But listen to me, whatever you do, do not, even if you have to lay your head on a chopping block, do not take the mark of the beast. The most important thing you need to do if you miss the rapture is exactly the same thing I've told you to do in this church a million times. Confess your sin to God and put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. You do that, you will be one of what's called the tribulation saints, people who get saved during the great tribulation. So no matter how bad it gets, no matter what you have to go through, even if you get beheaded and killed by the Antichrist, you will still end up in heaven with the rest of us. So we'll be waiting for you to show up and we'll leave the light on for you. So how about it? But you know what's a lot easier than going through that? You know what's a lot easier than going through the dumpster fire, the great tribulation? You know what's a lot better than running from your life for the Antichrist who's trying to cut your head off? Don't miss the rapture at all. And pray to receive Christ and get saved right now. Because listen to me, you know deep down inside during the great tribulation, you'd lots rather spend that time with Jesus in heaven up there than with the devil in the hell on earth down here.
Amen.
The first way that we need to be ready for the last days and the rapture of the church is by what we know. We want in this text, we see a second thing. A second way that we need to be ready for the last days and the rapture of the church. Not only by what we know, but also by how we live.
Amen.
And that's exactly what we see here in verses 45 to 51. Because being ready isn't just believing in the last days. Being ready is also living like it's the last days. So you don't just need to get your eschatology right, you also need to get your life right. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 says the world is coming to an end. We ought to be spotless and blameless.
Amen.
And how many of y'all realize that is exactly the opposite of what the world tells us to do? Because pagans say if the world is coming to an end, hey, let's party like it's 1999. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, Kevin, I don't want to party like it's 1999. I want a grocery shop like it's 1999. Whatever. Throw it down however you want to, for tomorrow we die. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 18. And why don't we Christians have that attitude? Why don't we Christians do things like that? Because we know, previous picture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And we're going to be held accountable for every single thing that we do. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Peter says, because everything is going to be destroyed, everything is coming to an end very, very quickly, we ought to live holy and godly lives as we see the day approaching.
Amen.
Jesus tells a parable here, verses 45 to 51, about a master who goes off to Cabo and leaves one of his servants in charge of his household. But because the master is gone a long time, the servant goes rogue and he is not about his master's business. People, let me ask you this morning, in these last days, are we about our master's business? Last month, Michael Tate, member of the Christian music group Newsboys, confessed that for the last 20 years, he's been a cokehead and drugged and sexually molested all kinds of other guys. One of them, 13 years old. Makes Marilyn Manson look like a choir boy. And now all kinds of venues are canceling Newsboys concerts right and left because Michael Tate was a member of that group for 16 years. Surely somebody knew something and kept it quiet. And my God, people, where's the separation? Where's the holiness? Where's the new creation in Christ? Isn't being a Christian supposed to make you different from the world? Isn't salvation supposed to change you? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And now everybody and his brother in the church is saying, well, Michael Tate, we're all sinners. We just need to forgive him. Yeah, we're all sinners, but we don't all drug 13-year-old boys and sexually molest them. And you know where that comes from? It comes from the Laodicean church telling people for decades that God is just Mr. Snuffleupagus on Sesame Street and there is nothing that we can do that would ever make him mad. People, listen to me. There are things that we do that tick God off. Those who love the Lord fear Him. Because Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, our God is a consuming fire. Good heavens, people, have we lost the whole sense of the holiness of God in the church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
These last days, we've got to be living right. Are you living right? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, do not neglect the assembling together of the saints, especially as you see the last days approaching. Go to church! You know the worst excuse I've ever heard for somebody missing church? A guy actually told me a couple years ago, Pastor, I can't come to Fox River anymore because both my wife and my girlfriend just started going there. Where do you even start with that? You spending any time with God? Because posting a Bible verse on your Starbucks selfie isn't exactly the same as having devotions. You spending any time in prayer? Too many Christians today spend a lot more time posting than they are praying.
Amen.
I think I'm preaching now. No missionary dating. Because you're a Christian and that person isn't. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, do not be unequally yoked. Because how in the world can you even consider sharing the rest of your life with somebody who does not share the most important thing in your life, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Spare yourself all the tears. Spare yourself all the heartache. Don't date unbelievers. There's Christian guys listening to the sermon right now. You're dating an unbeliever named Shanita. She's with you because she need a house and because she need a car. Cut it off. There's ladies listening to the sermon right now. You do not need a relationship with a man until you have a relationship with the man, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ can love and support you more than any guy ever can. Well, Kevin, if I date an unbeliever, I can lead him to Christ. That's not why you're dating that person, and you know it. 44 years of ministry, I have led hundreds and hundreds of people to saving faith in Jesus Christ, and I never had to date one of them to do it. No sex outside of marriage. But Kevin, that girl is hot. Yeah, so is hell. Because the Bible says sex outside of marriage is a sin called fornication. And Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 says you can go to hell for that. Do you want to go to hell for that? Is it really worth that to go to hell? People, Jesus is coming. We're going to have to stand before the Lord. And Jesus is saying, don't do that. Don't do that with your body because your body belongs to me.
Amen.
No shacking up. Because you don't just find a person that you can live with. You trust God to find you that person that you can't live without. all kinds of men and women in the church today doing husband and wife things when they're really not husband and wife. Do you honest to God think that God is really going to bless that mess? There already is a place where men and women can act like husband and wife. It's called marriage. Get married.
Amen.
You say, well, Kevin, that's legalistic. Sorry to say, church used to call it sanctification. Young people vaping. Do you realize that destroys your lungs? Do you realize that can kill you? And you've got the glory of God in here. The glory of God doesn't need that smoke. He's got his own smoke.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Well, don't you?
Amen.
Christians go to church and sing that song, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. Then you got weed out in your car in the parking lot. Christians drinking every single day before noon because it's 5 o'clock somewhere. See, Christians don't tell lies. They just go to church and sing them in their songs. Christians looking at porn because you're lonely and because it relieves the stress. And because it makes you feel like a man or a woman for a little while. But it's destroying your relationship with the Lord, and you know it.
Amen.
Married couples, is your marriage right? Things going on in your relationship? Married couples come to church on Sunday morning looking like Warden June Cleaver. The nanosecond they got home, they start dropping the F-bomb again and throwing haymakers and scaring the hell out of their kids. Married people, listen to me. I don't care what the issue is in your relationship. You're telling me that two born-again, spirit-filled children of the living God, married in the sight of the Lord, can't work out a problem? And no magic crystals, and no spell casting, and no fortune-telling, and no horoscopes. Because you try to control anything that you try to use to control the spirit world outside of Jesus Christ is witchcraft. I don't burn sage in my house because Jesus Christ created sage. I don't need to burn anything in my house to rid my house of spirits because my Savior Jesus Christ is greater than all the spirits combined.
Amen. That's right.
Get rid of it. Hottest nightclub in the entire United States right now is Club Sayer, Los Angeles, California. But you know what? Don't go to that club. Come to this club. Because this is my club. I don't do that. I do this. This is my club. This is my band. These are my peeps. And there can be dancing here if you want it, just like the other one. This is my club. This is what Jesus died for. This is what I live for.
Amen.
Are we living right? And of course, not one of us is. Every single one of us has got things in our lives that need to go. But Jesus Christ not only died on the cross to deliver you from the penalty of your sin, Jesus Christ also died on the cross to deliver you from the power that that sin has over you. So there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that Jesus Christ cannot forgive you of or set you free from.
Amen.
In these last days especially, we have got to know what we're supposed to do with sin. And not only ours, but other people's too. Last July the 1st, TV evangelist Jimmy Swigert died at the age of 90. And his funeral is today at his home church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Jimmy Swigert was born in 1935 in Little Faraday, Louisiana. Grew up in Assemblies of God churches, and two of his cousins were Jerry Lee Lewis and Mickey Gilley. And Jimmy Swigert's Aunt Stella taught all three of those boys how to play the piano like nobody's business. And they were so good at it growing up, they won every music contest there was all across the South. Jerry Lee Lewis eventually went to hell-raising rock and roll. Mickey Gilley turned to country music. God told Jimmy Swigert to play absolutely nothing but gospel music. So Jimmy Swigert gave up being a rock star himself and gazillions of dollars to play the piano exclusively for the glory of Jesus Christ. And if you never had the pleasure of seeing or hearing Jimmy Swigert play the piano, here's just a taste. talk about anointed by God. Now, Jimmy Swaggart could not only play, he could also preach hair on a bowling ball. Married his wife Frances when he was 17 years old, had a son named Donnie, and preached at every church and every camp meeting all throughout the South. 1973, he started his home church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. 1975, he started buying time on TV stations all across America and became the very first real TV evangelist to broadcast the gospel across the entire United States. 1980, Jimmy Swaggart started Jimmy Swaggart Worldwide Ministries. He started a Bible college. He was doing crusades all over the planet. Jimmy Swaggart was preaching the gospel on TV stations in 140 different countries of the world. 1985, TV Guide magazine said Jimmy Swaggart was the most powerful speaker in the world. Here's just a little bit of one of his sermons.
I'll tell you what a waste is. A waste is when you build a big building like this, and you put carpet all over the floors, and pews on top of the carpet, and air conditioning in the building, and there's never a praise heard in it. There's no worship in it. There's no glorifying God in it. That's a waste. That is a waste.
I think TV Guide was right. But of course, October 1987... Jimmy Swaggart was photographed walking out of a hotel in New Orleans with a prostitute named Deborah Murphy. And no matter what happened there, there was no excuse for it. So February 1988, Jimmy Swaggart did a big mea culpa for his wife, his family, and 7,000 of his church members at the Family Worship Center in Baton Rouge. There's a part of his confession.
I have sinned against you, my Lord. And I would ask that your precious blood would wash and cleanse every stain until it is in the seas of God's forgetfulness.
So he confessed and repented. And the Assembly of God demanded that he stop preaching for a year and go through counseling. But Jimmy Swaggart only stopped preaching for 3 months because he knew a year off would ruin his worldwide ministry. So 1988, the Assembly of God took him off their clergy roster. Then October 1991, Jimmy Swaggart was pulled over in Indio, California with another prostitute, this time in his car. And was there any excuse for that either? Absolutely not. And of course, the world gave him seven kinds of hell for it. The jokes and the memes, some of them you see there on the screen. Somebody even put a plaque on the wall of the hotel where he picked up the prostitute in California. So everybody and their brother referred to Jimmy Swaggart as the fallen preacher. CNN called him the disgraced TV evangelist who's been plagued by prostitution scandals. And because of that, most people just wrote him off. And because of that, most people completely forgot about him altogether and didn't have any idea what Jimmy Swaggart did after that. Because 1993, he broke away from the Assemblies of God and started preaching what he called the message of the cross. 1995, he started Sun Life Network with all kinds of radio stations and cable TV stations all over America. 2012, he started the Sun Life Broadcasting Network, his own TV station, pumping out the message of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the salvation of souls. People, Jimmy Swaggart never preached prosperity gospel. He was never word of faith. He was never name it and claim it. He never went for the charismatic witchcraft. He didn't go for the Holy Ghost nonsense like the gold teeth or the angel feathers. Jimmy Swaggart taught and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in spite of that, people today still treat the guy like he's the devil himself. I know I'm going to get letters just for defending him right now. But people, whatever happened with Jimmy Swaggart and those prostitutes happened 33 and 37 years ago. So my question is, where in the world is the forgiveness? Amen. The man was under the water. It's under the blood. How in the world would you like to be condemned every single day for something that you did 33 years ago and 37 years ago? You say, well, Kevin, what Jimmy Swaggart did disqualified him from ministry. Okay, what are you doing right now that would disqualify you from ministry? And how do you know that Jimmy Swaggart really repented? Because in 33 and 37 years since that happened, Jimmy Swaggart was never accused of doing anything sideways with another woman again. How do I know that Jimmy Swaggart repented? Because he didn't do it again. That's repentance. Amen. And how do I know that Jimmy Swaggart really repented and that he was really restored to ministry and that God really used him? Because I got saved watching Jimmy Swaggart on TV, July 21st, 1984. And Jimmy Swaggart also played a part in my dad getting saved, April the 8th, 1998, 7 months before he died. People, listen to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad it was. I don't care how many times you've done it. I don't care how many people you hurt. I don't care how much damage there was. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Amen. So even if your spouse, even if your ex, even if your old friends who don't want anything to do with you anymore, even if your family that's disowned you, even if everybody in the whole wide world, even if the devil himself remembers your sin, just like with Jimmy Swaggart, God won't. So for crying out loud, stop remembering what God has already forgotten. Because if God forgives it, you can forget it and keep living for Him. The second way that we need to be ready for the last days and the rapture of the church is by how we live. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third way that we need to be ready for the last days and the rapture of the church. Not only by what we know, not only by how we live, but third, by watching and waiting. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 42 to 51. Because if the lowlife who tried to break into our garage right out there in our church parking lot had told us the time that he was going to come and try to do it, we'd have been here to stop it. But he didn't tell us when. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. Jesus will come like a thief in the night. Verse 43, your Lord will come back at a time when you do not expect Him. Ron Foltz, my algebra teacher at Watseka High School, would always give us a quiz every single week. But he never told us what day of the week the quiz was actually going to be on. Which meant we constantly had to be ready. We constantly had to be studying and be ready. Watching and waiting. Watching and waiting because it's coming. The end is coming. And how do we know that? Because all the signs are there. We may not know exactly when the rapture is going to happen, but we see all kinds of signs that let us know it's getting closer and closer. Last May the 18th, a man named Matt Michelle proposed to his girlfriend, a woman named Becky Patel, outside of Arnett, Oklahoma, with a tornado touching down in the background. And that's not an AI-generated picture. Hello? Can anybody see the signs? Does anybody really know what's going on there? Does anybody really know what's going on here? Because right now the entire world is getting ready for the coming of the Antichrist and the Great Tribulation. Because we can see the signs. Amen. Moms attacking ICE agents in Los Angeles just for trying to arrest illegals who are rapists and murderers. This past week, 43-year-old Matthew White, Jamison, New York, was arrested for threatening to kill ICE officers, for saying things like this. Kill them all. ICE is the new age Gestapo. Stop them. I can't wait to put a bullet in their brains. But first, their children. My God, you talk about evil. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Jesus said one of the signs of the last days is what? Lawlessness will increase. That's exactly what we're seeing. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, Elon Musk's Grok AI system went totally anti-Semitic, even praising Adolf Hitler. The AI that the Antichrist is going to use during the Great Tribulation and the time of Jacob's trouble to run his entire Mark of the Beast system, when all hell is going to break loose against the Jewish people. See the signs? Do we see what's coming? Gay activists waving the flags of Hamas at their rallies. I've got an idea. Why don't you go to Gaza where Hamas is and tell them that you're LGBTQ and we'll see what happens. Because I guarantee you the Hamas terrorists will not embrace you. They will throw you off the top of a building and kill you because you're an idiot. People, this is not just natural stupidity. This is spiritual blindness. Amen. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, Jesus said, what's one of the signs, the biggest sign of the last days? Deception. Fires in California, floods in North Carolina, New Mexico, world record flash floods in Texas. In May, there was an earthquake in Tajikistan, yellow fever in Ecuador. In June, there was a cholera outbreak in the Congo, landslides in Bangladesh, floods in Nigeria and Kenya, Algeria and Haiti, polio outbreak in Papua New Guinea. This month, wildfires in Syria, floods in Panama, a malaria outbreak in Zimbabwe, and just last Thursday, July the 8th, over 400 earthquakes near Mount Rainier in Washington State. She's a rockin' and a rollin', people. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 8, in the last days there will be floods and famines and earthquakes in diverse places, the beginning of sorrows leading up to what? The rapture of the church. Jesus says, Luke chapter 21, verse 31, when you see all these things happening, when you see all these things happening together, look up, for your redemption draws nigh.
Amen.
It's coming. It's coming. Just like it did in the days of Noah. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6 says the world of Noah was absolute wickedness. And the imagination, every imagination of man's hearts was completely and totally evil. With the Nephilim and demon worship and child sacrifice. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in our day, in the time of the coming of the Son of Man. God took Noah and his family and kept them safe by protecting them from the storm and the flood that was coming. Just like God is going to take us Christians and keep us safe and protect us from the storm and the flood that's coming with the rapture. Because the rapture is the very next thing on the end times calendar. Nothing else has to happen before the rapture happens. And it could happen any time. The rapture could happen before this church service is over. The rapture could happen before my sermon is over. Because in 2/100ths of a second, the time it takes to bat your eye, your body could be instantaneously transformed into a brand new spiritual body. And before your clothes can even slink down into the seat, you will be catapulted airborne through the ceiling of this room and straight to glory.
Hallelujah.
And the reports will come into the LaSalle County Sheriff's Office that Fox River Church is empty, but the sanctuary is filled with clothes and there's nobody there. Always thought there was something funny about that church. And reports will come in all over the world. A woman will reach over to touch her husband in bed. Her husband won't be there, but his skivvies will be. And nurses will run screaming out of hospitals all over the world because all the babies will disappear from the maternity wards.
Amen.
And there'll be car and truck accidents all over the planet, but there won't be any drivers inside the vehicles. And planes will fall crashing to the ground, passengers screaming to their death because the pilots disappeared. And the left will blame Donald Trump and MAGA and white supremacy. And the U.S. military will be put on high alert. And every nation will be under a state of emergency. The United Nations will meet an emergency session. You'll hear about it and you'll run back home, but your Bible-believing, tongue-talking mama will be gone. Teenager, you run home from the party, but your Christian parents will be gone. And your little brother who liked going to Sunday school will be gone. Your church will be gone. Your fundamentalist fire and brimstone preacher will be gone. Kevin Garner will be gone. People will call Fox River Church hoping Linda Ness will pray for them because they heard that Linda Ness, the secretary at Fox River, is spirit-filled. But Linda will be gone. Your grandmother who prayed for you from the day that you were born, that one day you would get saved and walk with Jesus, will be gone.
Amen.
Your wife who begged you over and over again every single Sunday to go to church with her, but you never did, will be gone. Your friends who wanted you saved and prayed for your salvation and witnessed to you and sent you all kinds of text messages from the Bible verses and all kinds of Bible studies, who wanted you so bad to be saved, they'll be gone. So let me ask you this morning, if you can't get saved now with all those godly people and all those godly influences in your life, how in the world do you think you're going to get saved then when all those godly people and all that godly influence is gone? And the Holy Spirit is not operating in the same offices like He does right now. We've got a girl in this church who won't come to this church anymore because what this church teaches and believes and stands for embarrasses her in front of her friends. Let me ask you, if you can't get saved right now when it's going to cost you some friends, how in the world are you going to get saved then when it costs you your life?
Amen.
If you cannot deal with your friends ragging you about what you believe, how in the world are you going to deal with the Antichrist when he's got a gun to your head and a knife to your throat and he is marching you to the chopping block? Watching and waiting. Watching and waiting. Because it's coming. Just like it came for them. Part of Texas you see there on the screen, the central part, has always been known as Flash Flood Alley. Because all the limestone cliffs and very little dirt, there's always been all kinds of flash floods there. But early morning, last July the 5th, was the granddaddy of them all. When remnants of tropical storm named Barry dumped 16 inches of rain, an entire summer's worth of rain on that area in less than 3 hours. and the Llano River and the Little River and the San Gabriel River and the Guadalupe River rose like crazy, rose 35 feet in 2 hours. People, that is a wall of water three times higher than the wall of this church. And it absolutely devastated roads and bridges and campgrounds and RV parks and little towns like Hunt and Comfort and Kerrville. The flooding was apocalyptic, people, like something right out of the Bible. And the videos are enough to curl your hair.
In it.
Oh my God, there's so many people in it.
People, it looked like a third world war zone. And almost 200 people were killed. And dozens are still missing. And the stories absolutely break your heart. 27 girls died at the summer camp called Camp Mystic. And the owner, a man named Dick Eastland, died himself trying to save some of them. 21-year-old Joyce Badana was staying in a cabin with three friends. The last text she sent to her family said this, "We're being swept away." R.J. Harbor and his wife and two daughters, Blair, age 13, and Brooke, age 11, were staying in two cabins with R.J.'s parents. About 3:30 a.m., R.J. woke up to floodwater rising in his cabin, tried to get to the cabin next door where his parents and daughters were, but a pile of logs got in his way. And when he and his wife got to higher ground, they found a text from one of their daughters that just said this, "We love you." Blair and Brooke Harbor's bodies were found 20 miles away, the girls still locked in each other's arms. And the bodies of his parents still haven't been found. Some bodies were found up 30 feet up in trees. There's one 9-year-old girl missing a friend that she lost.
My friend Nene was just so funny. I've been scrolling through videos and pictures on my mom's phone and watching it over and over again. Her dancing when she's excited. She was so nice, and I just miss her so much.
People, can you imagine? Can you imagine the hell of having people you love more than anything else in the whole wide world swept away and killed by a flood and gone? Just like that. And of course, the big controversy is, why wasn't there some kind of warning system to let people know that that flood was coming? Well, there kind of was. Because the National Weather Service sent out a flash flood watch for that entire area that morning at 1:15 a.m. Then at 3:30 a.m., they sent out a flash flood warning for that entire area. But by 3:30, the campgrounds had already been swamped with rivers running through them. And the problem was the National Weather Service sent out those notices by social media at a time when people were asleep. So they weren't even paying attention to them because they weren't even paying attention to their phones. Some of the little towns along those rivers had flood sirens along the river. Some of them didn't. Some of the people who lived in that area had heard flood warnings so long that turned out to be false alarms. They were just numb to them. And they had the idea that because no flood had ever happened like that before, no flood like that was going to happen at all. But you know the biggest reason why people didn't heed a warning and get out of the way? Because that flood came at a time they did not expect it. So nobody was watching. Nobody was waiting. They did not know what was going to happen until the flood came and took them all away. Everybody except the people at the top. Previous picture. One of the girls' camps along the Guadalupe River was called the Moe Ranch Christian Camp. On the night of July the 4th, one of their employees, a man named Ryan Ronaldo, heard that there was rain in the forecast and stayed up all night long watching and waiting, watching and waiting. And 2 a.m. when he saw the river started to rise, he got all the other employees, they got all 70 of those girls' campers out of their cabins, and they got them to a building on higher ground. And every single one of those 70 girls was survived and lived, watching and waiting. watching, and waiting. Folks, the Bible tells us over and over again that there's a storm and a flood coming. And believe you me, this is not a false alarm. The mother of all storms and floods called the Great Tribulation. That's going to come and it's going to make the flash floods in Texas look like a kiddie pool party. And it's going to sweep away and destroy every single thing in its path. The Bible warns us about it over and over and over again. And the sad thing is, who's heeding the warning though? Who's watching and waiting? Who's even aware of the signs? Because too many people today are dead asleep and not paying attention at all. And they've got the idea, because no flood has ever happened like that before, that means no flood like that is going to happen at all. But listen to me. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, that flood and the day of the Lord will come.
Amen.
It will come. Now the good news is that flood hasn't happened yet. The good news is the great tribulation hasn't started yet. So there is still time. You can still pray to receive Christ and be saved from that flood before it even starts. Jesus says, Luke chapter 21, verse 38, watch and pray that you might be able to escape that which is about to happen on the face of the earth. Be therefore ready, for the Son of Man cometh at a time you think not. And what happens to the wicked servant when the master comes at a time when he doesn't expect him and he has not been about his master's business? It sounds kind of harsh. Verse 51 says that he will be cut to pieces and assigned a place with the hypocrites. And that phrase cut to pieces isn't like a slasher movie. It's talking about being cut with a whip. He will be whipped and assigned a place with the hypocrites. You know what the word hypocrites means in the Greek? Actors. People who are just acting. There's people in this church right now listening to this sermon. You come to church every single Sunday acting like the perfect Christian, like Tim Tebow and Sadie Robertson. But you know what? It's just an act, isn't it? Because there are things in your life right now that don't belong. There are things in your life right now that need to change. And you don't think anybody knows about them. But you know what? God knows. What are those things right now in your life? Maybe it's relationship that you've not got to give up. Maybe you're cheating on your spouse. You're having an affair and nobody has a clue. Maybe it's porn that you're looking at. Maybe you are drinking on the side. Secrets that you're keeping from your spouse. There is problems in your household and you're not taking care of them. Maybe it's pot. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's a bad attitude. Maybe it's jealousy. Whatever that is, the very nanosecond this service is over, you get out of your seat, you come to the front of this church, and you surrender those things to the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 21, verse 38. Notice, Jesus not only says, watch and pray so that you might escape the things that are going to happen on the earth. He's talking about the rapture. He also says, watch and pray that you might be able to stand before the Son of Man. Because the night is far gone, people, and any moment now, we're going to be raptured and we are going to be standing in the presence of Jesus Christ at the throne and give an account for everything that we've done. And we are not ready. We are not ready to do that. There's people listening to the sermon right now. You're not saved. You don't get saved before the rapture comes. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss the boat and you're going to go through the hell on earth of the great tribulation. And the rapture could happen any time. Be therefore ready. For the Son of Man cometh at a time you think not. Today you're not saved. You need to be up here in the front of this church. You need to give your life and your heart and your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you know where you stand with Jesus in these last days. People, we've got to be ready. Get ready. Ready or not, here He comes.
Get ready. need no ticket. You just sang the Lord.